You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast, brought to you by the Scottish Rugby Blog. I am Cammy Black. We're joined this evening, we've got a view, we've got hello to Josh Paul. This is the first time live podcast in a long time, so hello Josh, you're very welcome. Joining me this evening though, we've got Ian here. Hello Ian.
Hello, it's my first live one in a long time too.
It is, yes. We've got Craig Manson. Hello Craig.
Hello.
John Anderson, who we can hear now. Hello, John.
We can hear me. I think that's unfortunate for everyone, but hello.
And we've got Johnny McGinty as well. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, how are you doing?
We were just talking earlier about how Livingston is the Milton Keynes of East Scotland.
We were.
I like Joe. What was your fact then, Johnny, about Tony Macaroni?
About Tony Macaroni. So Livingston, for those of us who don't know, sold the naming rights to Almondvale, which was the ground, to Tony Macaroni, the Italian restaurant chain, and it's now called the Tony Macaroni Arena. But very quickly, visiting fans started calling it the Spaghetti Had, which I honestly think might be the best thing that's ever happened in Scottish football. It's brilliant.
Very good. Okay, if you're watching us live at the minute, we're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch. You can catch us live every week. We also release the podcast as an audio download as well on most podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere else you can get your podcasts. And we've got the Patreon as well, patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast, where for £3 a month you can get a bonus weekly episode of the podcast where we talk a little bit about rugby and some other stuff, and we do the swears in that one. We've got a lot to get through this week. Shall we start with the summer squad, which was announced today? Which,
that would be sensible,
I think, is the first time in living memory that there were no surprises in the squad.
Yeah, it's quite boring.
It is. Like, I edited Finn Smith's Wikipedia page for nothing. I said he was called Feathers and that he collected Pokemon cards. It's still there as well. So if that can hold to the autumn test when he does get called up, that'd be great.
Yeah, it did seem like a lot of work. You know, there's a lot of preparation goes into this. It's like,
I know,
you know, it's like our biannual bit of fun, and here we go, you know.
You can't just Google rugby player with a Scottish granny, because it doesn't work that way.
No.
To actually put the
effort. It's how it works for the Excels program, isn't it?
For a while, I think in the early 2000s it did. I probably hit all the Vista search or ask Jeeves.
Especially if you've got your safe search turned off.
Nice to have you back, Ian.
Hi.
And the tone has just
lowered the tone since 1982.
Absolutely plummeted. Oh,
so, John, I'll start with you. What's your thoughts on your take on the squad then?
So, you know, there's... Right, so, I was quite disappointed in the squad for a couple of reasons. The first main one being that actually it wasn't that interesting in terms of, like, some movers or shakers or any new faces there. And I think that was partially driven by, so we obviously looked at, you know, how many people from the initial Six Nations squad had kind of dropped out, or, you know, what were the changes? And we all kind of went into, like, the last Six Nations and maybe, you know, the autumn before that, and we were quite excited by the squad. We're quite interested to see what they could do. And I think in this case, we're kind of like, oh, it's more, almost more of the same. And the last thing we've had was a pummeling from Ireland. So I'm not entirely sure we want more of the same. And the second reason being that actually, and the guys will obviously touch on this as well, but the Lions guys who've had a lot of rugby, who probably do need to be, you know, sitting on a beach somewhere drinking cocktails.
Earning 20%.
There's quite a few of them still there, so, you know, a few of them going away. So seems like a strange squad. I was perplexed.
Craig, were you maybe a bit less perplexed? Because you, I think you were generally positive about it.
Yeah, I think I agree with John. Obviously, you know, one of the people that we've talked on regularly about who looks like he needs a break is Hamish Watson. I was quite interested to see that he's been included, but Conor Boyle hasn't. You know, so that was an interesting one. I also, and to the utter disgust of Johnny earlier on today, was quite amazed to see Javan Sebastian still in the squad. So
this might
obviously
be the simmer that goes, Craig. This might be the point. However,
I can understand why he's in the squad.
Explain that to us then, please, because I can't. Please explain to me. Why is he in the squad? Because he plays tight head. Play tight head, Craig. Why are you not in the squad?
Because I'm old and my two knees are buggered.
Doesn't matter. You're better than having Sebastian.
So is Javan Sebastian.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
I think he'll provide a good... he'll provide someone there to get... I'm lost for words.
You're trying your best, though.
We don't have very many tight head props. And I think
Darcy Ray is staying at home. There you go.
Darcy Ray should stay at home. He's not been playing regular rugby.
Yeah. Oh. At least he's competent.
Excuse me, you haven't seen Javan Sebastian play.
That's because he's there for less than 5 minutes.
What I would say, however, is Murphy Walker's included in there, which is really good to see. I was very impressed with him when he came on from for Glasgow, so it'll be an interesting one. I am a little bit perplexed about the lack of inclusion for Chris Dean. I think Chris Dean's done enough this year to be at least given an A game against Chile, but that's not happened. So. Yeah, we'll wait and see.
I suppose the question is, Craig, who would you have dropped? Because it's a 40-man squad and they're not going to take 41 players. So presumably they've told Tooney how many players he can take out there. And he says the 40 men to start with, dropping it to 35, and by the end it'll be 28 players out there.
You know, this is no disrespect to the guy because I think he's doing very, very well, but Mark Curry is in there. He's a young player coming through, so I guess they're going for youth rather than experience. But also, I'm going to say this.
Say it, Craig.
I think there's two players that haven't performed as well as they possibly could have, and that might be discussed further down the line. But Sam Johnson and Siopo Tuatolotu haven't performed as well as they maybe could have. Hang on. Before you say anything, I'm not saying I'm perplexed with their inclusion. Of course, they're doing well and they've got in. But you look at the makeup of the squad. I just think Chris Dean is very, very similar to Sam Johnson, or, you know, not so much Tuopolotu, but Tuopolotu hasn't performed well this season at all.
See, I was about to lose my rag at you, Craig, for slagging Sammy G, because I think he's one of the few people who, in defeat, is actually, you know, muscled up. But Tuopolotu, for me, it's... I don't know, man, there's a wee feeling of the Emperor's New Clothes there with me. I thought he started very great. I really don't think that Gregor Townsend playing him at 12 helped at all. Because as far as I know, he's not, like, when he got signed, it was like, yeah, he plays outside centre and wing. So there's Tooney like, oh, mate, you want a debut? Cool, play a new position. which just didn't seem to make sense to me, particularly not when Johnson actually played decently in the first game, and then he just gets canned for someone untested at that level in a position he's not used to. But again, with Christine, I'm a big fan of Christine.
But you asked the question, what's different between Christine and Sam Johnson? It's 23 Scotland caps is the difference.
Yeah, Sam Johnson has been the first choice for three Six Nations in a World Cup, and Christine hasn't. That's the difference.
Yeah, but if you look at them back to back this season, the performance is probably, I would push down the route of Christine rather than Sammy J this season.
Is it the case, though, that we are just shy of a year from a World Cup? And that's what this squad smacks of to me is there's some names in there that are kind of break glass in case of emergency, but when it rocks up to the Argentina test, it's aside from the three main players that have been rested in Russell, Harrison, Hogg, everybody, he's going to be playing his first choice player. He's going to be playing who he sees as being his first choice players because he's not got time for experimenting is over, I guess. If it's ever over, Johnny for Gregor Townsend, because he does love to tinker.
Yeah, I think we've got ourselves into this really awkward position now where we're too close to a World Cup to do much experimenting, but also outside of our kind of core of first choice players, there's a lot of places where we don't know who our best backups are and what our best options are. And we now don't really have a lot of time to work that out because we have only got what? Seven tests of the Six Nations to the next World Cup, and you can't fanny about your team in the Six Nations, so that gives us seven games to work out who our backups are, basically.
So then, why then leave your tried and tested three at home because they need rested, and then take along Ali Price and take along Hamish Watson?
I completely agree with Craig.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Madness. And Xander Fagerson, who often plays, you know, for Tighthead, he plays a lot of minutes. He puts a lot of minutes onto the pitch. And, well, we've seen his discipline going even further down the cliff, now abseiling down the cliff. So I think this is a man who maybe needs a rest and a reset, but instead, because we have no Tightheads, off he goes.
The difference is that all three of them play in Scotland. So the argument would be that they've all had their game time managed. But I think there's a difference between having your game time managed and being given a proper rest and taking time away from rugby, because you're still, even though you're having your time managed, you're still around rugby. They're still going to work every day.
They're still training.
Yeah, exactly. But have said to those lads, like, take a month off.
I mean, Price,
go on a proper holiday.
I mean, how many times did Price play a full 80 during the last Six Nations as well? You know, lot of time, you know, Horn or Ben White don't get trusted to come on at all.
Same with Glasgow,
he's not getting time. Like, George Horn should be given more time. I mean, obviously been injured for the last couple of months. But where's, like, Dobie? Dobie's meant to be the bright young thing that's coming along. He's not getting game time. Price is getting papped on. And Glasgow are still getting hammered, which we will talk about more later. Price needs a rest. You know,
He's played a lot during the season for Glasgow. He's been Danny Wilson's get out of jail free card. And how much have we discussed
a life sentence?
How many times have we been, or maybe you guys have agreed with me, you've just said it, Ian. He's, you know, Glasgow have got two bright young things, or, well, George Horn's now getting a bit older, but on the, you know, in and amongst the squad, they could have rested him, but they haven't.
How likely do you think we are to see then the repeat of, was it the 2011 World Cup, where we had players being stood down for a month before the World Cup? And so the Glasgow, and I seem to remember it was in particular Chris Patterson, who was obviously our only attacking threat at that point, was stood down from like duty with Edinburgh at the time to make sure that they were protected for the World Cup. Are we expecting to see Ali Price come December switching off for the season, maybe?
It's not ideal, is it? Because he's going to be playing now. Those three players are playing right through to the World Cup if they stay free of injury.
Yeah.
Especially so because you don't tend to get a break in the World Cup year either, isn't it? Because it goes straight. It kicks off end of September.
You go straight to camp.
Yeah, because they play the autumn tests in the summer as the warm ups.
Yep.
And you go straight to camp and you're playing your warm up tests. And there's normally four of them. So there's actually more, you know, despite the fact we're now going down the Welsh cash cow route of, you know, having four tests in the autumn, but, you know, it's normally one more than you would have in the autumn, and it's a lot of rugby.
It's a sad day when I say just make it three tests and Pape Cheering in there. if we want Bank, Ed Sheeran brings in Bank, you know.
I wouldn't have said Bank, it rhymes with Bank, Ian.
I deliberately stayed out late as possible one time before returning home. And then as I got off the train at Mount Florida, I could still hear Coldplay. I was like, oh God, I should have stayed in the pub longer. It's been the loudest gig at that stadium that I've had since I've been here. And we had the windows open one time when AC/DC were playing, even though I've gone right after them. I was like, it might be fun to hear some. Beyonce.
Yes, I've heard
Beyonce
that.
Beyonce was the loudest person ever. It's like, you know, like maybe I had Springsteen sound checks when I went up to Greg's for my lunch, and then I'd actually go to the show.
How was that? Wasn't that loud?
Yeah, I've been to three of them.
In fact, I've got a t-shirt on and I got at that show.
What's that say?
Says, Chaps like us, baby, we were born to run.
I used to have that. I bought that off the internet and I left it in New Zealand. Now I've got the River, because the last time we went was the River anniversary tour. I've got that one. This will all be getting cut out of the...
No, it's not at all. Katrina Evans even says, Ed Sheeran's ginger and Peely Wally, so he looks Scottish.
And he's probably
Scots qualified.
I'm surprised he's not been named. Josh Paul says he reckons the Tooney had a squad full of Scottish qualified Japan based Kiwis, but then saw Danny Wilson's fate and bottled it at the last minute.
There might well be something in that.
Yeah. Did he?
I can see that he's, maybe got the yips.
We'll come on to the Glasgow coach situation in a moment. In terms of the Scotland, I mean, there's not really much, like we said, there's not much to talk about. I'm reluctant to have the debate about who plays 10 and 15 for Scotland now, because it's completely irrelevant until we get to games and people start getting picked.
That's such a cop-out, Da. That's a cop-out.
What's the name of the Harlequins prop that we called up a wee while ago? I'm sure it's got a cue at Nick something.
Oh, Nick Otterack.
Nick Otterack.
No longer has a club.
Yeah, he was
Lucy,
wasn't he?
Did he get a cap? He got half a cap.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
But it's I even went on the Scarlets website to look up like how many appearances Javen Sebastian's made, and it's like 51 over the last 6 years. And then when I tried to go and like break it down by season, the Scarlets haven't updated their website for a while. I think they're still on Bebo.
If we're talking about props, we could talk about what actually is wrong with the squad, if you want.
What I nearly said earlier, because I could see you were desperate to talk about the lack of Ollie Kebble, Johnny.
I just don't understand it. I don't get it. Why?
Yeah, I'm
you look at the props who are in the squad, and what are they bringing that Ollie Kebble doesn't bring? Like, I said earlier, loads of Welsh pundits and stuff today were saying really good news for Javen Sebastian getting called up. He's had a phenomenal season and stuff, but I don't see him bringing anything that Ollie Kebble doesn't bring.
Yeah.
He couldn't get a game for Ayr. He developed. He couldn't get a game for Ayr. He is hopeless, and the Scarlets have got him, and it's a charity case that the Scarlets have got him. And the fact he's getting called up for us, it's a joke.
But hang on a minute, though. Ollie Kebble's been on the bench far Jamie Batty's been starting regularly for Glasgow. As they showed over the last at the end of the season, out of shape and not conditioned correctly. So you know, okay, for, you know, Jamie Batty is in there because I guess they need someone along with Javan Sebastian for people to talk about. But you know, don't get me wrong, I've got nothing against Ollie Kebble. I really don't have anything against Ollie Kebble. I just think he's shown both. You know, the Glasgow forward pack haven't shown a lot of light on themselves over the last five or six games.
Glasgow squad haven't shown a lot of light.
Yeah, let's not limit that.
I've promised myself tonight that I'm not going to be kicking anybody while they're down tonight.
Oh, fine. We'll do ourselves.
I just feel
yeah,
that,
that's all right.
I know, I thought I'll let you guys self-destruct all you want. But on my side of things, I just feel that, you know, that they've not performed as well as they should. I'm surprised that Jamie Batty is there, but I understand why he's there.
Do you think it's telling about the depth in Scottish rugby though, that you've got Glasgow performing the way they have done for the last couple of months, 3 months, actually all season if we're being realistic about it, but the way they've been performing and yet 14 Warriors are in the squad, that tells you a lot. There's like, it's almost like there's no consequence for being utterly rubbish.
It's kind of like Ross Ford continually getting picked.
Exactly.
But is it, it's,
I've got a point for that.
Yeah, I think we might discuss that when we come on to talk about Danny Wilson in a minute, and whose fault is it that they've been playing badly? Is it
the thing? Is it like if you're going to say that Glasgow didn't give a good account of themselves, and so that's why Ollie Kebble's not included? Scarlets were 10th. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're not talking about snatching the best of the rest to take his place.
No, that's not the point, Johnny. And the 14 players that have been included from Glasgow are one of the reasons that's not the point. Because if you look, they're individually very, very good players, and you'll be expecting that Tooney and the coaches that are involved in the Scotland setup feel that they're good players and think they're going to get something out of them. What I'm trying to say about the forwards as the pack, they haven't performed to the level that they should have. And Javan Sebastian, no matter, you know, how many Scarlets games have you watched, Johnny? And that's the issue. Is it's not a matter of where they are in the league. It's what performance is he giving? And I think he's and also the fact that we're struggling for tight heads. You know,
I think as well, like three of the Warriors picked, they are currently injured, but they're good players. Darche has been excellent, you know. Matt Fagerson and Scott Cummings, who is pretty much a shoe-in for a first-place lock position. Because what was it 18 or 19 games he played in a row?
19 in a row.
Yeah, so we know these guys are great players, or very good players, not great players otherwise. Well, Cummings was injured for a lot, so...
I think the thing for me with Kebble is that there's a pattern of him not being picked now. So it's not just that he's been admitted; he was admitted throughout the Six Nations as well. And we were saying, why isn't he being picked? So
the thing is, though, like, one of his first very games, he came on against Wales when we won in the Park of Scarlets, and he came on and won. Like, one of his very first things was to win a scrum, win a scrum penalty.
Yeah.
And we know that he's a big, powerful guy. He can play both sides of the pack if required, although he prefers loose head. You know, when he qualified, we were sort of thinking, well, like him and Schoeman are kind of like equal level. Now I'd say Schoeman is definitely a top of Kebble and Suz. I mean, Suz and Schoeman are the top two. Then after that, I mean, in Batty, I like Jamie Batty.
I like Jamie Batty as well, to be honest.
But obviously, I mean, when he went from Glasgow to Edinburgh, I was like, what's the point in this? Because all he's doing is sitting behind another South African import, like getting scalps in his ears. He's come back and he's played reasonably well, and I think he's a reasonably good player. But I don't get how Kebble has just been absolutely cannoned out.
Especially like Kebble's breakdown work is basically what we like about Xander without as many penalties.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, one thing could be Kebbles and discipline, but we don't seem to
much swear that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got the, yeah, whether or not there's something else going on there, as Craig said, that, you know, there's something to form that we're just not seeing. We don't know at this stage. We're unlikely to ever know whether or not he's peed in Toonies chips. I don't know.
Yeah. The Gregor Townsend autobiography after the Scotland job. You'll inevitably have to do another one. It's going to be magnificent, isn't it?
I mean, the amount of you know, the amount of but I got my revenge. Stories in the original one. It's just incredible. Anyway,
no. Do you know what?
I had the last
he's got
laugh.
Previous.
Yeah.
No, he'd better call his sequel the talk of the Toonie, but with TWO. There you go.
Oh, nice, very nice. Good.
I'm gonna DM Pete Burns right now.
you also have to look at the fact that I'm not surprised by it, but WP Nell's not been included in the squad, and if we're that. If Javan Sebastian is, if we're really, what's the word, scraping the bottom of the barrel for a tight head, why would you not take a Scottish, a highly capped Scotland number three, you know?
Well, there's maybe the argument that we are going to need him next year in France, so let's give him the summer off to recuperate and eat some chicken wings.
You have to cryogenically, if you want WP Nell around for France, you need to cryogenically freeze him now.
Yeah. Exactly. He's literally in stasis for this next season, Craig.
I honestly,
like demolition man.
I'm not entirely sure he will go to France, but
I reckon if the Javan Sebastian experiment, which is a crap name for a jazz band, by the way, if and when that fails spectacularly, because it will, because he's guff. We're on the barrel. Yeah. I think Murphy Walker will be next in line, but I reckon WP will be there as third choice, because I don't see Darcy Ray. You know, I mentioned him because he's actually more competent than the Welsh idiot. He's still not very good, right? And actually, there's lots of other props who have kind of been the next coming that have ended up not being very good, and WP Nell has kind of just showed them all, like. You know, there's no alternative to just that pure technique that he has and that experience. Mm. And he's still playing at a higher level than most of them.
It's funny how, like, because how many of them have come and gone, and WP Nell just sits there and goes, all right, yeah, fine, like, just give me a call when you need me again.
I'm a fact in Andos.
I'll be over here.
And you look at, like, and... Petrus Duplessis paid for ages. Oh God, I had his name in my head until I started talking. Brock Harris came on for Stormers against Edinburgh. Yeah. He's like 37, 38.
Yep.
No, Nell's what, 35? You can get a good few.
36, I think.
You can get a good few minutes out of that classy scrummaging monster. He's been wonderful for Edinburgh and Scotland.
He really has.
Whatever happened to Nathan Macbeth?
He's still at Glasgow. He's just not getting game time because, you know, sometimes your coach doesn't trust people to actually give them game time.
I was going to say, because he was supposed to be the next big thing.
I mean, he is big.
Yeah, I was going to say literally as well, because he's massive.
He is a big lad, but I would expect to see him. I mean, he's been on a bit of a development kind of curve the last couple of, well, certainly this season. And maybe hasn't had the minutes that we probably want. There was a wee injury at the start of the season as well, which I think set him back a wee bit. But ultimately, you would be expecting him to kick on under new leadership and hopefully start to offer a wee alternative.
Yeah. The only other surprise, I think, well, not surprise, but the one that's come in from the cold is Rory Hutchinson, who I think everyone's been screaming for him.
It's about damn time, yeah.
It's because Toonie's kettles finally ran out of urine, and he's forgotten about it now.
He's like, no, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to try Sione Tuipulotu at 12. No, having a Rory Hutchinson just because because Twitter tells me to. It's like, well, how about all the Player of the Month awards? How about all the wonderful performances he's putting in? You know,
is he only in there then because Finn's not? Do we think?
Who, Rory Hutchinson?
Rory Hutchinson.
I think he's on form. To be honest with you,
he's on form. But I mean, would Townsend have put if Townsend had picked Russell? Would Rory Hutchinson be the player to miss out then? Because it's the 12-10 cover.
I'd say he's more 12-13 rather than 10.
I think they've said in the past that he covers at 10.
He was said to be 10 cover. Did they not mention that in the last Six Nations as well, saying he was potential cover for 10 and 15?
They said it at the last World Cup.
Yeah, when the only other 10 cover we had was Blair Kinghorn. which isn't actually going as bad as we as well. It's still a work in progress, I'd say.
So is the fourth road bridge, mate.
But Craig was saying, the Matt Curry getting selected ahead of Chris Dean, for example, it seemed like Rory Hutchison was just getting the.
Yeah. Nah. I would say if Finn was in, that Hutch would stay in and Matt Curry would probably drop out.
Yeah, that would mean. Yeah. Can you imagine, though, if you go Hornito, Russell, Hutchinson, Bennett, just as a 9, 10, 12, 13? That is pure, absolute noise.
We ain't played there's, sevens here, boy.
Well, there's no defence there whatsoever, but we love it.
A little bit of wee just came out there.
The thing with Chris Dean, circling back to it, is he's 28. That's the difference between him and Matt Curry. It's Chris Dean's 28. Everyone's like, oh, Chris Dean's the next coming. It's like, he's 28. I think at that point you've...
Oh, I certainly don't think he's the next coming. He's over 100 caps for the Edinburgh, etc. But I think his performance this year
has been incredibly
surprising. So,
He's a guy who's consistently played at a decent enough level to get a call up, I'd say, rather than some other sort of random darts getting chucked at a SQ board, as we've seen.
Yeah. The thing is, though, like if we're saying we've got 7 games now to get ready for a World Cup, now's not the time to reward a 28-year-old for having a good season. Which is harsh, and I know it's a horrible thing to say, and it is harsh, but it's the reality.
And you've also got to look ahead beyond the World Cup and think who's going to, you need to start exposing players like Matt Curry to the camps and stuff, because Christine isn't going to be around after the next World Cup.
But, well, we kept on picking Duncan Taylor, even though we've broken every fucking saying week.
Do you want to hear the harsh truth of it, though?
Go on, then, John.
Hugh Blake has more Scotland caps than Christine.
And Hugh Blake played well in every single one of those Scotland caps.
He did, yes. And also was very good at centre for Glasgow.
It's just that neither Glasgow or Edinburgh wanted him.
No.
He was very good for the Scotland Sevens. It's just nobody wanted him, apart from Fern Cotter.
For one game.
Yeah. Any more on the squad then?
The Ben Vellacott omission, although he's probably carrying an injury.
His injury must be worse than it looks.
The thing also you've got to look at is the fact that he was admitted to the Six Nations squad. He was in the squad, but he wasn't played during the Six Nations. So, Tooney's got his favourites at 9. I'm glad to see George back.
Yeah,
I think George Horn needs to be given more.
He needs game time.
Opportunities. He needs more opportunities to start matches.
Yeah. He's the opposite end of the spectrum to Mish. Like Mish needs to be stood down for the summer. George Horn needs to have a summer of full noise to get back, because he's barely played this season. So it's and I'm fine with players like that coming in, and actually guys who've been injured or guys who, someone like Scott Cummings is the other kind of obvious example. A guy who's had a lot of injuries this season, a wee bit of game time and then manages progress next season. Totally fine with that. But I just can't get my head around, particularly the English-based, the guys that are English-based who've been away, like Doohan, for example, and Rory Sutherland. I just can't get my head around why they're going on this tour. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on then, shall we? We were going to talk probably about the Edinburgh. Craig, this is probably good for you. We were probably going to talk about how Edinburgh and Glasgow got on the quarters. But then on Monday, Danny Wilson was stood down as Glasgow head coach.
Magnificent. Which is terminology.
You stand down like fire fighters when you think there might be a fire. Do you say stand down, lads? There's nothing happening.
Stand down,
you stand
son.
Down
stand
the
down.
Army when you think there's some sort of nuclear bomb threat. It's like, you stand down. You stand on the Air Force when they've got to intercept a missile and it doesn't need intercepting anymore. Just stand down somebody and then he's sacked.
No, you can't.
Well, you see, that's the thing, though. If you sack him, you have to find some way of paying him off out of his contract.
This is also there's a side thing here. Like, as you say, is Danny Wilson still employed by the SRU?
100%.
Yeah, and he's going to pop his wee head up somewhere like the MLR over at Old Glory. Or he's going to pop up at Murrayfield coaching.
Well, he won't be at the guilty knees, will he?
Consultant or something like that. He'll be a Super Six advisor for next year, and then he'll go on his merry at the end of the contract.
No, he's going to write the independent match reviews.
The independent fan blog.
Yeah.
Yes! Oh,
whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the independent writer?
Pack were amazing. We could see the lessons they've been learning all week in training. They've been training good, the boys.
We just need to accept that we're rubbish.
It's all wretched baseball.
I was wondering today, have Glasgow ever stood down a coach before?
Only once. And we've stood down an interim coach as well. And it was a long time ago, like late 90s.
Because normally they're just quietly, somebody else is brought in.
Yeah.
And that's why they leave or move sideways or upstairs or get an office in Murrayfield to do a project for a bit.
An office and a laptop and a window staring into a brick wall. Sit there for a year and do stuff. I don't know.
Danny Wilson's been sent out for tartan paint.
Danny Wilson's been told to check out John Anderson's spreadsheet.
he's gonna be lost in a myriad of you know that Sonic zone where the labyrinth zone, you know, and Sonic Hedgehog, and you just get lost in this constant loop of water. Yeah, that's where Danny Wilson is now.
Yeah, I've worked with guys who've been stood down before, and they're given projects.
Yeah.
Here's a project because you're not doing very well at your main job.
I mean, it's...
This isn't going to affect
my driveway.
This is completely inconsequential work.
Yep, this is abs. You might notice this is not included in the work plan or our objectives or any sort of commercial input that we're having as an organisation. However, it's a crucial project for you. You go, son.
Here are some spreadsheets that you're responsible for and have no links with any of the spreadsheets that we need to use. Yeah. Mess them up as much as you want.
Mess them up. Preferably mess them up lots, because then you have to spend time fixing them. Batter in. Yep.
Well, I mean, I think I said on Twitter, I was surprised that they'd done it. Not, I think it's the right thing to do, Johnny, but it still came as a surprise that they were that bold and acted that quickly.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really saw it coming, did we? Like, we all wanted it to come, but I don't think anyone expected it to actually happen.
I did. I very much did.
Get your mystic ball out.
No, it's just like, it's the number of embarrassing defeats.
Yeah, that's like, it's the second worst defeat in club history. You can't really go on after that.
And the worst, one before worst, that was worst against
Leicester in the European Cup in 1997.
Which was 1919.
It's also the worst URC defeat in history, or Pro 14 or Pro 12, I believe.
Yeah, like worst domestic league defeat in history and the second worst ever. So, yeah, even after all of that, it's still a little bit of a surprise that they actually got their finger out that quickly and got rid of them.
I was going to say, how much, John, did the because there was also the thing on Saturday night when I was really hungover on Saturday, so I can't remember Saturday or Sunday, the Glasgow game. The thing on Saturday night when, after the game, Glasgow immediately changed the banner of their Facebook page and started promoting season tickets for next season.
And then had to turn the comments off.
Yeah.
And I wonder, it was interesting, I think, the Al Kellogg quote, that must have played a part in it, because he said, we've listened to the fans are clearly unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, Cammy, that the groundswell of opinion, and I actually noticed it in the press as well, because obviously prior to the Leinster game, rather than talking about the game, Craig's got his popcorn out here, by the way, just for those watching. He's loving it.
Well, he's loving life.
This is just a preview. Wait until we get
I think you obviously saw a groundswell in the press as well, people asking, you know, Danny Wilson having to come out and saying, I'm going to stay for another year. No, a coach who is happy and comfortable in their position doth not have to say that. So there was a movement kind of happening, but then I think the nature of the defeat as well, the social media backlash afterwards was massive. And then Glasgow did not help themselves in the slightest, as you say, with the most ridiculously tone deaf, obviously scheduled social media posts you've ever seen. But it was just like Glasgow fans, the pitchforks were out. I mean, we joke about, you know, storming Scotstoun with the pitchforks and stuff, but on social media, the pitchforks were out. People were very angry and very disappointed. And if you were to take a straw poll of the forums and the social media pages, you know, you're talking maybe 70-80% of people were saying, I'm not renewing my season ticket until there's change. And that, you know, with the thing with the prices as well, that all plays into, you know, it's Dodson said it wasn't, we can't afford to have a week. We've already got two pro teams, so we can't afford to have a week not supported team.
Yeah.
So,
Craig, I want to bring you in here while I know you're enjoying your popcorn. But we've got John Barclay and Sam Warburton on Twitter. Obviously, they've both worked with Danny Wilson in the past in some form or another, and will have a personal relationship. But they were very much saying Glasgow have lost a good coach. John's disappeared. John can't stay around to listen to this. You know, he's a good coach, and I think John Barclay called it the Twitter mob or something, are the ones that have hounded him out of his job. The Twitter police, that's right.
That's going to be a hands and rock, that was.
We can circle back to it with some swearing later on, Ian. Is there, though, Craig, is there a danger that rugby becomes a little bit like football? I know it's a results-based business, but, you know, you see the damage that's done to football teams when with the fans call for the manager's head and demand change, and then a new coach is brought in, and there might be a little bump, but then does it create an expectation that the fans just need to kick off the next time there's a run of bad results, and they'll all start throwing the season tickets on the pitch? Do they need to be more patient, I guess?
It's been a difficult one, because I don't think Glasgow fans, and please don't let me speak for John, Johnny and Ian, because I know they've got plenty to say about it. But on my side of things, looking at it, nobody really wanted him in the first place. And basically everyone kind of stood back and went, right, go on then, show us what you can do. And also you have to look at the fact that Glasgow and Edinburgh virtually finished in the league in the same position. And we are currently celebrating our coach and their team, and Glasgow are burning their season tickets. So it's a really difficult situation. You also then have to look at the SRU and Al Kellogg, who are basically looking at half-empty stands because people are not renewing their season tickets. And they have to make a decision. And up until about two weeks ago, I started to jump on the bandwagon of, I think it's time for Danny Wilson to go. So I can't sit here and say the John Barclay side of things of, oh, he's a really good coach, and the Twitterati have hounded him out of Glasgow. I think there's been quite a lot of hot takes from a lot of the Glasgow fans, but you're going to get that no matter what fans, you get hot takes from Edinburgh fans as well. So there's you're going to get that. That's the way it is. I do think he's you know, he has won silverware with Cardiff. He wouldn't be in that position if he wasn't an okay coach. I think the big problem is he's had a mixture of poor results because of his game plans, etc., and also the rest of the players, some of the longer legged players, have let the team down as well. So it's just been a mixture of many different things that's caused it to kind of go the way it's gone.
Yeah.
Incredibly heightest of you, Craig. Longer legged.
longer in the tooth then, maybe.
Everybody needs to just leave Richie Gray alone. Like, leave Richie alone.
That was remarkably stupid, though.
It was remarkable.
But your coach coming out afterwards, good coaches don't come out and pinpoint all the blame on that moment. They don't do that.
Yeah.
And it was actually good for the rest of the game. So, you know, it's...
Yeah. If only Richie Gray hadn't got sin-binned, there was no way we would have shipped 12 tries. Calm down.
There was two yellow cards. Yeah. Plus the fact, again, you've also got... If Richie Gray's given away... yellow card penalties, you know, it just seems to be the way everyone's just decided, well, we can do what we want and rattle people if we want to. You know, the discipline on Glasgow's side of things has been horrific.
I mean, Craig, just think of it, like 2 weeks before, like when me, John and Cam were sitting beside each other at the Edinburgh game, and you know, Glasgow win a penalty, then your captain goes up, starts a wee bit of handbags, and penalty gets reversed.
Yeah.
You know, it's consistently been the older heads who have just been brain dead, and then the occasional what's your man? Who's the flanker? Lockatui.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
who couldn't seem to go on the pitch without getting a damn yellow card.
He came off the bench and got some yellow card in about 30 seconds
straight away. Yeah, it was like literally his first tackle. It was a high.
These are experienced, supposedly top class players. And then they keep doing these damn stupid things, and there is no consequence to it. They just get picked next week, Wilson especially. Like Wilson, he's one of these guys who just, Ryan Wilson, this is, who just consistently, you know, I've been like a roller coaster with him. Like, the man's an idiot and a lunatic, and he's a disciplinary nonsense threat. You know, particularly after he broke a man's jaw in a pub and barely made the World Cup squad. And then, like, you know, the year after that, I'm like, all right, he seems to have calmed down. I mean, you could see, you know, if I was at a game, I could see, like, if there's going to be handbags, particularly Munster players would run towards him, like, yeah, let's get him involved, let's get him sent off. And he was just like, nah, mate, not for me. But now he just comes back to doing this daft, stupid crap far too often, and he thinks it's funny. You know, he's just like, ah, mate, I'm just a wind-up merchant, mate. So, yeah, you're... Thanks, right. You're good at laying out, you're good at being an arsehole, you're good at the S-housery. But as a leader, God, no. Absolutely not. No. This man's made me set already... examples, and he's yellow carded every single bloody thing.
Yeah. And he's already started his media career, isn't he? He spends more time on Rugby Pass than he does.
Aye, that's it. He's part time. He's a part time captain. Yeah. It's like having broccoli.
So this is
an interesting take. So this is from Billy on YouTube. He says, "I haven't heard anyone questioning Murchie and Carolyn. Surely their ability to sort Glasgow's defence and attack has to be mentioned. You can't pin everything on Wilson."
Not only have they not been questioned, I've heard people suggest that they should be getting the job.
That's absolutely
insanity.
Peter Murchie's defence wasn't his main attribute, is it? I don't really know what Murchie's done behind. Like, obviously, you know, he was manager here for a bit, right? But behind the scenes, I don't know what coaching qualifications he has. I don't know what this and that. But he has a very short spell at here, and it's like, right, you're now defence coach. Like, what qualifications does he have for this? Caroline came in with, you know, Connaught playing nice, exciting rugby. Maybe he was getting stifled in some of the things, but we've all said during, like, we've not seen a Glasgow attack firing, right? They look haphazard, they look clueless. A lot of the time, you've got, particularly I saw at the end of the game, Ross Thompson was sitting really, really deep. And he's more of a, you know, like the Glasgow way particularly has been to have a 10 standing in the line, you know, with Russell, what have you, Russell Hastings, and, you know, be a bit of a weaver, you know, create something from flat. And Thompson is good at doing that. I've seen him do it plenty of times, Super Six. And when, you know, when Glasgow have played what you'd call the Diddy teams, that's when Thompson's looked at his best, because he has the chance to play on front football. He's not been given that chance of late. I don't think he's... I think it's stifling his development to have him playing in this nondescript plan that Glasgow seemed to do. We had nothing. You know, everyone was just sort of running lines, but it's like, you know when John, he played John Madden NFL, right? I don't watch NFL or anything, but you get your three
the arrows.
Yeah.
You get your three arrows and you get your arrows and you go, right, well, I'm going to pick that arrow. Yeah. That's what Glasgow's attack is.
Yeah, and they were all just smashing at each other. It's like you press every button at the same time. And they're all running in different directions. The number of loose passes or like, runs that were just ahead of the ball, they end up crossing all that kind of stuff. They just seem to have no structure or game plan, and that's on both sides of the ball. Defensively, I think we've been incredibly poor. There's been a lot of lackadaisical efforts. I think it was the fourth or fifth Leinster try, the one that was McCarthy, you know, the one that looked like he'd maybe knocked it on.
Yeah.
In the tackle.
Yeah.
That was the third one, I think. Third one.
Two rucks previous to that. There are far too many Glasgow players on the wrong side of the ruck. Yeah. And then they just amble over. You're like, where's the intensity? Who's directing that defence?
See, and by the time it gets to like 55 points for Leinster, it's upsetting to see them not bothering in defence, but I kind of understand it. See, when it's 14-7, get up, get on your feet, get organised, because get on, like...
You're in the game.
Yeah.
And
I think this has been the trademark of the Wilson era, as we don't know how to play. Like, I felt really bad for him to begin with, because obviously he took over a team that was already kind of on the downturn for Dave Rainey, because we hadn't recruited properly. Like, we had no bloody number 10s. He kept on saying, like, I'm having to play a number 12, Pete Horn. One of the greatest number 12s in Glasgow Warriors history, by the way. But not a number 10. I'm having to play him here, and I'm having to do this.
But yeah, but this is the thing, though. He has this... recruited well.
Yeah.
Like, the players that Glasgow have brought in, and there's some really, really good... It's an exciting group, but then just went absolutely nowhere. Yeah.
But it's back to the question as well about, you know, obviously Al Kellock's role and all everything that's happened in the last couple of years has been questioned. How much did Wilson actually play in that recruitment? Or how much was that SRU recruitment?
Because, yeah,
you know, you've seen a few of those guys who we would class as good signings parachuted straight into the Scotland team. How much of that was actual Scotland, or how much of it was, you know, other parts of it? Because I just don't see none of the, so the confusion. And Ian, I remember being on a podcast where you right at the start of the season, and Glasgow had recruited really exciting players, and I believe what I said was, yes, but the idiot at the top's going to ruin it. And you could probably go and find the footage, because I've stuck to this. I've been lying on top of this hill for quite some time. They didn't strike me as Danny Wilson signings. They struck me as signings to try and appease the fans that were going to continue to play the Glasgow way. But Wilson had no intention of doing that and could never marry the idea of having a more physical pack. We don't have the players to do that. So it's insanity to continue to boot that horse when it's dead. We can't do it.
Okay, before we go, because we've run out of time in the main podcast, I want you all to give me your dream journal pick for the next Glasgow coach, and your realistic, this person's probably available and we'll get the job pick. Johnny, dream journal. Who are you writing in your dream journal to be the next Glasgow Warriors coach? And who realistically is going to be the next Glasgow Warriors coach?
That's tough. Do you know what? Let's have Stern Vern back.
Yay!
Hey.
Let's see what he could do with the squad that we've got. Realistically, I think at this point it's probably going to be an in-house job, isn't it?
But Richie Grease used to be like, oh no, not rabbit.
Not again. No, it's not fair. No. Poor rabbit.
Please, no more rabbits. Yeah, I think it's probably going to be an in-house job from somewhere within the SRU, but I don't know who it's going to be honest. I can't see them going with a big name external pick, because who's going to do it?
John?
Yeah, so, I mean, I mentioned them in our group chat straight away. You know, I think Scott Robertson would be the absolute ideal candidate if we could stretch to it and make sure that, you know, give him a wee bit of international coaching experience before he goes back to New Zealand and takes the big job. I disagree slightly, Johnny. I see what you're saying about interim coaches and, you know, kind of in-house and stuff, but just seen that going as well. But I mean, ultimately, the amount of anger that exists, like the Glasgow fans that have been very vocal online, are not going to be appeased by John Dale being moved back to Glasgow, or for Peter Murchie being given the head job, or even your boy Carolyn. They're not going to be appeased by that. And ultimately, this is, and the interview that Mark Dodson done was very telling. We have the money for the right candidate, was essentially what he said. Well, I think
golf.
Well, that's it. Yeah, because he's off getting the Saudi dollar. I reckon they're going to push the boat out, and like it might be Lancaster. I can see all the reasons why it could be him.
Yeah, Ian.
Well, dream call. Well, I even said to someone on Twitter, I was like, I'm not even going to say Scott Robertson because that's just daft. Obviously, that's one of the dream calls, because one of the things with the Crusaders was their pack was incredible. They, you know, they didn't lose a line out on their own throw for like 2 years. You know what I mean? When the Crusaders have been romping it in Super Rugby. And Rob Robertson at the Mail has been saying that the SRU are pushing for Lancaster. That's who they're going for. That's their big name target. That's their Dave Rennie sort of call. And it would need something like that. However, what I would say as well, like, I mean, I've said, because I reckon we're a bit skint, I'd be fine with John Dale. So I think he'd be a kind of almost like a Walter Smith-like appointment. You know, and that somebody who's been there for a while, been around the game, is respected and known. You know, he's been head coach at Sevens. He's been involved with Glasgow. I went to Dave Barnes took me along at a press conference when Aki Seeley had signed and Kyle Steyn was signing a new contract, and Dale was in, and like both Steyn and Seeley couldn't speak highly enough of John Dale.
They said as well, the Dodson interview said that they wouldn't be making coaching changes to the national setup before the World Cup.
Right,
there
we go.
So DL will not be going.
Or we'll just give him two jobs and pay him for the one so that Mark can go play golf.
I think the Lancaster thing to me I find interesting, because I think I can see the job being... There's a lot of Leinster fans on Twitter saying he's never going to take it. Why would he leave Leinster? And so, because it's not... Yeah. He's not swapping like for like. He would be coming in, and he strikes me as the kind... He follows me on LinkedIn. I think he's just trying to tout his business. Yeah, he follows me on LinkedIn. He follows 3,000 people as well. I think he just kind of... Anybody who looks at his profile, he follows you. But it's a project, and that's what I think he would be interested in. I think... They would have to give someone like Stuart Lancaster carte blanche to say, look, you need to turn this into, you know, this has been a club. You need to kind of come in and transform it. And I think that would be an attractive job. Plus, it's you know, commutable from Carlisle.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you think he sat in the Leinster coaching box and watched Glasgow ship 76 points on Saturday and went, yup, that looks like the job for me?
Well, it's going to be, I can't make it worse.
particularly philanthropic, yes. I can sort all this out, no bother. Hang on, just give
honest.
Me 4 weeks with these guys. I'll fix it.
Let's be
it's
honest.
Like a life coach. Life
the
coach,
guy, the guy's that. International rugby career didn't necessarily go to plan, and if he's got any aspirations of going back to international rugby, this is a really good pathway for him.
But bear in mind, he had to deal with James Haskell giving him the. No, I want to hear the SES guy talking about shooting people, not about organising stuff. I'm James Haskell. I'm cool.
Well, I think that's the thing. He's really heavy into kind of culture and all of that and stuff. And that fits in with what Glasgow maybe lost a little bit under John. I think it's what Al Kellogg's all about. I think it's maybe what the team have lost a little bit of.
I'm sure Al Kellogg might get a mention in the next section of the pod where we maybe get sweary.
Okay. Shall we move on to this weary part of the podcast? We'll say goodbye to every our normal listeners. Thank you for joining us. I'm not going to be here next week. I think, John, I think you might be around to do some sort of season review if you can.
Yeah, I am. Am I around next week? Let's go with yes. Yes, I will give you a season review next week, boys and girls.
With whoever's around. I'm away. I'm in Melrose next week. Exciting. Ooh. Staying right next to the Green Yards. I feel like coming home, I'm going to go and roll around on artificial turf. We're going to go and like rub myself all over the artificial turf. It's not a context. It's just something nice.
I'm
going to fan myself and take a selfie of me fanning myself by the Green Yards.
I'm fairly sure Melrose Anderson has a lot more of a history than the Southern Knights and my. I'm just putting that out there. They might have been around a wee bit longer than that.
Thing is, what you need to remember, though, Cammy, is that the Southern Knights, they don't like blacks. So...
That is very true. That is very true. I'll tell you something funny that happened with on that line in a moment. For the moment, though, it is goodbye from me and goodbye from John, Ian, Craig, and Johnny.
Night all.
Bye. Cheerio.